So hello and welcome to our INE Office Hours call for the month of March 2020. We are here to answer your questions, to get support, to celebrate any successes, and to help you to be out there in the world just spreading the message and helping people to stay healthy. It's especially important that we, at this time where there's all this panic going on in the world about a pandemic, and we are all concerned and we want to help our clients, patients in the best way. And I see some of you out there doing webinars. I saw Michelle, you were doing one, and I saw who else was doing it? Isabel and several others are really addressing these things. And I think it's important because people need to be given tools and opportunities. I do want to read something that just came in to our help desk that somebody reported to me. And I just, this is the kind of attitudes we need to help people with, that I wrote an email about, here's some of the things to do, don't panic, eat real food, blah, blah, blah. And she wrote, I hear what you're saying about fear, but I'm just a poor, struggling senior woman, and I can't afford the really good food. This is a limiting belief. So I buy things that are quick and easy to prepare. Mac and cheese is still pretty cheap. Yeah, but so are lentils, and so is rice, and so are a lot of other things, right? Mac and cheese, no. I live in Kingston where there seems to be a huge shortage of toilet paper. Okay, so who cares? Don't waste your money on toilet paper. Use washcloths. Go, you know, clean your body under the thing. These are things that we can be sharing with these people who are spending their hard-earned money on stuff that maybe they don't really need. And I don't mean to be crass, but these are things like mac and cheese. Don't waste your money on mac and cheese. Eat some real food with real nutrition. I have no car, can't afford to take cabs, so I've had to cut down on my diabetic medication. And my first inkling and thought was, well, cut out the mac and cheese, and you can probably cut out the need for the diabetic medication. So I won't have to use the toilet so often, but nobody seems to care if I die. Okay, so there's some things here that we're going to see when we deal with people. Limiting beliefs, poverty, clearly. But, you know, what can we do and how can we address these fears? I'm wondering how – oh, this is just from my – helped us. So this is what this person wrote. So I would love to hear some of your insights on it. And Michelle has her hand up, so I'd love to hear from Michelle. You know, and how, I know you're doing a webinar and how this is going, but in general, what do you need support with? So I'm going to open up your line, Michelle. Hi there.
Hi. I actually have questions on two totally unrelated issues, but I can address what you put on the table if you'd like.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, and then let's go talk about your issues.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to be focusing on in the webinar that I'm doing is the aspect of focusing on health as opposed to focusing on a viral infiltration, when in reality we are surrounded by viruses every single day of the year.
Yep.
And
yep.
I think that what this is really bringing to the forefront is not the tremendous nature of the virus, but rather the implications of compromised immunity that we have in our country, where the majority of us are overweight, a significant amount of us are on 50 million different medications that compromise our health and well-being and compromise our immunity. A significant amount of us are under the throes of depression or some type of mental illness, some type of anxiety that again compromises our immune system, where the majority of us are not getting sufficient sleep, the majority of us are overworked. And so in some ways, this can be a blessing for many people to give them an opportunity to stop making excuses and to actually stay at home, get some rest, start focusing on their family, start focusing on their spiritual cultivation, start looking at going back to basics. I mean, I grew up in a country that was very impoverished in many ways. No running water, no electricity. And so luxuries like toilet paper, you know, I mean, we don't think about it, but it is a luxury in many cases.
It is, right.
And to focus on what is really important. When I look at rural communities, the way in which that we have gotten away from people having gardens, when you look at what got us through the world wars, was a matter of people actually creating their own little gardens And something like that is something to go back to, not just the act of creating food, but actually working in our gardens and having that integration with nature and having that ability to de-stress and to ground ourselves. So we can look at glasses half empty, or we can get caught up in this whole arena of fear, which I believe in giving, you know, and maybe I'm just one of those people who's always conspiratorial, but I think it's a manipulation of people's fear so that they can start to really take advantage of high price testing and other types of
well, and vaccines and drugs. Like, oh, we found the cure, right? Get people prepared for that.
And the whole concept of, oh, we didn't have enough testing, that's just ludicrous to me. I think they were just waiting to create enough fear and anxiety so that they would get the government to step in and to mandate that insurance companies have to pay for this nonsense. And again, maybe that's just me with conspiracy theories, but I think it's a tremendous manipulation of the economy worldwide and playing on people's fears.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you and I agree with a lot of it. And I think that the whole thing about basics, like that email literally came in seconds before I started this call. And I'm like, this is the attitude, right? I can only eat mac and cheese because it's cheap. Oh, seriously? Have you really looked at what else is cheap? But it's a brainwashing thing, and it's nobody in the mainstream media is talking about immune system support.
Exactly.
Nobody's talking about get off the sugar, because why? Exactly. Their sponsors would kill them for stop eating general foods and stop eating Cap'n Crunch and stop eating all this garbage food that people have come to think is just, it's staples, and it's not. So I agree with you, and I think we need to just keep educating people from a kind and caring and compassionate way, and empower people instead of keeping them like under the thumb of the power to be. So agreed, agreed.
So my questions are two. Number one, I had a question from a diabetic client who wants to do the continuous monitoring, but she found out that her copay for the initial device would be like almost $800, and then she'd have to pay an additional $300 and something every 3 months. And so I was wondering, is there some kind of discount program?
That's insane. That's price gouging. That's totally insane. That's totally not true. So first of all, the device, if she has a cell phone, there's a mobile app. If not, the device is $47 or $57. It is not $800. Okay, and the full pay, not the co-pays, but the full pay on a month's worth the sensors. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
The full pay on those is a little less than $210. They're about $68 for 10-day supply. So somebody's given her bad information.
Is there a specific pharmacy that she has to go to, or like GoodRx or something?
Any place. You can go to Walgreens in your neighborhood as long as you have a prescription.
Okay.
Insurances won't cover it. They will cover it if somebody is a diabetic on insulin and out of control. Medicare, that's what Medicare's criteria is. There are a few insurance companies that are paying for them. Medicare will only under that circumstance, right? You have to be dying in order for them to give you power. So, yeah, it's just totally not true. You just go anywhere and they're like 78. I get them from, what's the name of it? Edwards Healthcare online, or we get them locally from the Walgreens.
Okay. And my second question is, do you know anything about ozone steam saunas? Because I recently took my son to a functional medicine doctor in Jacksonville, and he has an ozone steam sauna that he says is therapeutic and helpful with brain injury.
Interesting. So I don't know. I do know that ozone can be very helpful for brain injuries and anything where there's lack of oxygenation. I do know you do have to be careful with the exposure, but a sauna, that sounds like a great way to combine it, but I don't know anything about it, really. I mean, you know, in terms of the research on the particular device or a particular property, although it sounds like somebody was telling me about this a while back, but I don't recall. But it's, I mean, it sounds in theory, it sounds like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, into brain trauma, you know, all that, all the other nutritional things, right? You know, in terms of omega-3s, high dose, progesterone, actually, even though it's a male, can be super helpful. But, you know, it, I mean, it sounds, like I said, theoretically plausible and great.
Are there any other forms of ozone theory that you can, that I can look into?
Well, there's IV. There's also, there's units that you can actually buy. There's some people, and I know one of my clients years ago had one where you can, she would pop it into like a big plastic bag to create an ozone, like kind of, what's the word, environment around her, her feet for diabetic neuropathies. So I would just do a good search on all the different ways. There's a lot of administration of ozone in a lot of ways that you can do it. There's, of course, IV, but that's something you got to, you know, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Be careful about. But, yeah, there's definitely other ways of administration of ozone.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. That was Michelle. Who else? I see Jill on and Lynn and who else? I can't tell who's on the web. I just see people on the phone thing. So let's see. Michelle, two questions. Let's, yeah, rice and beans. I mean, lentils are so inexpensive. Mung beans, adduki beans. You know, we don't have that excuse. And like Michelle was saying, you throw seeds in a garden, go out and, you know, there's plantain, especially she lives in Jamaica. There's a lot of stuff that grows there, right? Mm-hmm. And sprouting seeds are dirt cheap and you can create a whole indoor sprout garden. So we need to be teaching people this stuff because they think, well, just because my, you know, food stamps covers mac and cheese and it's cheap. No, we need to re-educate these folks so they don't feel like they're victims. And that's a huge thing. Emergency preparedness, we need to share. Oh, yeah, that emergency preparedness. Maybe what we can do is we can find it on the site and take off the protection and then send it out. Or what we could do is maybe we just send out that link to the video because we did a really good job on it. Lynn, I'm also doing a challenge called Fire Up Your Habits to Power Up Your Life. Nice, nice name. The idea is to create routines and rituals to take themselves out of overwhelm. Overwhelm and fear and powerlessness. One of the most negative emotions on us is powerlessness. And if you look at, I know that in the book, Ask and It Is Given, Abraham Hicks talks about this scale of emotions. And the bottom is not hate or rage, it's powerlessness. Because hate and rage have energy to them. When people are so depleted, that negative emotion goes down to just feeling powerless and they can't move. Right? That just inability to move. And so moving people up that scale right now, people are starting to panic and then they're going to go into despondence if they don't feel like they have control and power. So I think that these are the kinds of conversations we can be having with people. And yes, hands in the dirt, B12. Absolutely. Yeah, so Martha, this is so true. I heard that lots of veggies available in the local store and the processed food's gone. I don't go out. I never go out. This is not unusual for me. I haven't been out in like over 2 weeks. Not that I don't leave the house. I do. I run to the waterfall. I run around the neighborhood. But as far as going out like socially and seeing people, I'm such a hermit. And 2 weeks ago, I went out to dinner with my son and his girlfriend. We went to a local vegetarian restaurant. And we had a great time, but I haven't been out since. And before that, it was 2 weeks. I mean, it's so much so that my son's car broke down and I gave him mine and he's had it and I haven't missed it, right? I've only needed it once in this whole month that he's had it and I borrowed Scott's. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can be doing. And Scott said he goes to the store and I said, well, how is it on produce? He says, it's fine. There's plenty of produce. One day he went there and they were low. But it, for the most part, the produce is there because people are not stocking up on that. And Maria Horseman, who many of you know, she sent me, or she was telling me about somebody who posted to her Facebook thing. Oh, I'm stocked up. I'm all set, you know, for being in quarantine. And he had this picture of his shopping cart, which had alcohol. It had, you know, soft drinks. It had packaged stuff, lots and lots of meat. And he said, you know, the only thing they were out of was toilet paper. And she said she wrote back to him and said, no worries, you won't need toilet paper. There's no fiber in your diet. You're just going to be constipated if you eat that stuff. So people are like looking for ways to, I don't know. They just don't know. They're not educated, and it's our job to educate them. Oh, Sprouts, of course. I mean, Sprouts, like seriously, Sprouts are, you get these very inexpensive sprouting seeds and then you sprout them and you create a home indoor garden. So those are easy things to do, like teaching people how to make Sprouts. I'm not the one to do it because I suck at making Sprouts, but people who pay attention. I actually started sprouting with the little microgreens and I paid more money than I probably should have, could have, but it's making me do it and I'm eating the Sprouts. Is it's still cheaper than buying them. These little sprouting tray things, and you put them in these trays and you just cover them with water and you don't have to remember to water them or anything. They come as seed beds. Yeah, it's $17 for three seed beds, but I get, you know, I get daikon and kale and broccoli. So there's a lot of ways to do it. And bread, they think that, okay, so people are eating more bread. Why? Because it's cheap. Right? Oh, buy flour and I can make bread. It's cheap. Yeah. It's going to trigger autoimmune conditions, guys. And yes, lentils and adduki beans, they're alkalizing. You're right. Good point, right? And they're going to get the body in a way that the immune system runs better. The immune system's going to run better when we're in an alkaline state. So we can get those adduki beans, we can cook them up, or we could sprout them and eat them as sprouts. Either way, they're going to provide way more nutrition than mac and cheese. Come on. That's not even an excuse. That's not even food. It's not even real food. I love adduki beans are my favorite. They're so easy. They're quick, right? And they tend to be, the smaller beans, in my experience, tend to be less problematic for people who have blood sugar problems, like this woman who said she's diabetic, right? The adduki beans don't tend to raise the sugar. They tend to be very slow in digesting. They have a lot of pectin in them. Tony said, my clients were confused and overwhelmed and asking the same questions. I created an empowerment guide with easy peasy things to do. That is awesome. I haven't seen that. Is it on your website? Yes, it was a fundraiser. I'm going to offer it for free. The site will be updated this evening. Great. Give us a link, Tony, so we can share. Where do you get those? Where do you get what? I don't remember. Oh, adduki beans? Adduki beans, you can get them at any store. You can get them at a health food store. You can get them online. Yeah, easy, easy peasy. I love that easy peasy. Thanks, Tony. Good for you for empowerment, God. I'll need to look through my email for that. Martha, what about our social lives? I love being around people. Hugging, our oxytocin levels will be us, which affects our stress. So I'm going to tell everybody I love them to make up for it. Telling people you love them, but also, you know, the virtual hug. So hug yourself. Massage is a great one. Massage yourself. Rub your feet. Rub your hands. Rub your body. And if you get on Zoom, as you know, everybody can get a free Zoom account. Get on Zoom with your loved ones and do virtual hugs. Hug each other. Yeah. And other things, just creating community, just being with people, not necessarily in the physical presence, but having the community, like what we're doing here, more so when we see each other, but getting on a Zoom or Skype call with your family and just sharing, that kind of community creates oxytocin as well. Michelle says, I've actually been sharing with people that this is the time to do a cleanse. I'm cleaning out my system. Yeah, and it's clean out the old emotions. We've got to get in a state of calm. We've got to do things that are fun. We can't go into gloom and doom and what's going to happen. My son and his girlfriend and one of their friends, they just took off last night to go to the mountains. They're going into Arizona, to the desert, actually, to camp. And my husband was freaking out. And he said, no, he said, no, with all that's going on, they're going, we're going to be away from people. We're going to be in with nature. What better place to be than in the desert, camping out under the stars at night, right? So things like that, go out in your backyard, take your shoes off, walk around, look at plants. I mean, now that people have more time, look online for like, what does plantain look like? Oh, I have some in my garden. What does this, that, or the other thing look like? Of course, with caution, right? Making sure that there's no lookalike. So if you think you found what plantain looks like, you think you found it, then you go and you look for plantain lookalikes, poisonous plantain lookalikes. And if there aren't any, then great, you know, and if they're not indigenous to your area, even better. So teaching people about those wild plants that grow. And seaweed. I mean, beans are good with kombucha seaweed. Yeah. Kombucha seaweed? I don't know what kombucha seaweed is. I know there's a kombucha squash, something like that. But yeah, beans, I mean, sea vegetables, they're not expensive, but they go a long, long, long way. You don't need a lot. And they really give you a concentration of nutrition. Juicing, for people who can't juice, broths, right? Broths are amazing. Salads, the immune boosting supplements. But the people say, well, I can't afford salads. Okay. You know, go out there, go to your local places, find local people that are making them. We just need to empower people. They don't think about this like this. They're exposed to the mainstream media. And my son yelled at me for calling it mainstream media. Said I sounded like a conspiracy theorist, but mainstream media is not talking this stuff. They're talking, wash your hands, keep your distance, buy Purell, bleach everything down. But they're not talking about how do we support the inside. So I'm a big fan of avoiding exposure. Avoiding toxic exposure is one of my first steps in detox, as opposed to going in and, you know, taking special potions and lotions. But the point is, yeah, you avoid that, but you also have to build up the inside, right? J.P. Sears, who's very funny, comedian, satirist, very good satirist. And he basically was saying the other day, he goes, yeah, if you go and you wash your hands with enough Purell, it's going to make up for years and decades of eating crap and destroying your immune system. Like, yeah, seriously, right? So we need to be the ones. We need to be the voices of reason. And I love it that you guys are stepping out there and doing it and making this public. And don't be afraid. Of course, you got to be careful. Allison Grimston did a Facebook Live today, and she's an MD, so she has to be really careful. And this is not medical advice, et cetera. But, you know, she's basically sharing from her own experience and expertise, you know, yeah, wash your hands, do the social distancing, do all those things, and let's build you up from the inside out. Michelle said, I'm proud of my sister. She got engaged and is planning to run away and get eloped in spite of the fear mongers. I remind people that it's going to be a marathon, not a street. So sprint. So life save to the fullest. Live life to the fullest. And that's what my son said. I'm going to go have fun. We're on spring break for indefinitely. So might as well go and do that. Right. So the thing Lynn put the link to Hamama. Kombu it's inexpensive. It seems expensive. It's like $3 for a package, but you know how many pots of beans and bowls of soup and pots of soup you can make with that? Yeah, it's amazing. Martha, the medical society still doesn't get the point of how you take care of yourself, and it doesn't, and it won't. Why? Because their education is mainly coming from the drug companies. And the drug companies don't want us to get well. Like, for example, Michelle started off with a question about the glucose meter, the continuous glucose meter. I mean, literally, those little sensors take practically nothing to make. Honestly, they do. Because I know about computers and technology and all. The unit, yeah, the software, and it's years of research, et cetera, that you're paying for. But literally, I mean, they're charging a fortune. Why? Because it's controlled by the drug company, prescription only. Do they want the average person to be empowered? Everybody should wear one of those things. Get an idea of what foods mess them up, what foods they get in control. And you know, you've seen it, our sweet spot program. You've taken people through, those of you who have taken people through our insulin resistance stuff. You see, and it turns around. The diabetes goes away. It goes away. It's not in remission. It goes away until you start abusing the body again. So we can do these things, and I'm not allowed to say we cure diabetes. We don't. But the diabetes is not to be found. It's hidden under a rock somewhere, maybe. And it goes away. What does that do to the drug companies who have people on those expensive prescriptions? I'm sorry, but economically, people, the powers that be, the big pharma, big food, they don't want people to be empowered because they're not going to eat their garbage packaged food anymore. They're going to eat real food. They're not going to need the drugs anymore, except there's cases where we do. Like type 1 diabetic is going to need insulin, but they're going to need a hell of a lot less when they take care of themselves. So all of this stuff, we got to get out there and take care of. Michelle, I'm stressing the use of good old soap as opposed to antibacterials, which compromise the innate immune system. It's true, right? So good old soap. You can put some essential oils in there if you want. Things like thyme and oregano and lavender and sage and all kinds of stuff that can be put in there. And I have back years ago, I still have some packages of like Thieves hand soap and On Guard hand soap. And those kind of things have essential oils in them. They're not loaded with alcohol that's going to dry out their skin and mess up with their microbiome, their skin microbiome. So, yeah, good stuff. Let's see. Anybody else have questions typed in? I'd love to hear from any of you. Nope. Okay. So I'm going to go to raise your hand, star two, open your lines. Let's have a conversation. Who else has questions? Not necessarily about this, but about anything going on with your clients, about anything going on with your family, you know, in terms of things you want help with supporting people on. I'm on a roll. Have you guys been watching my videos? I put together a series of 5 videos. 3 of them are out so far. Tonight's one is going to be on fasting and intermittent fasting, and tomorrow is on longevity and aging and, you know, the role of genetics and the role of lifestyle and food. And so anyway, they've been well received. So if anybody has any input, I'd love to hear it. So Michelle, did you have your hand up again?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question. Are you familiar with research that says that there are, I think it's called nicotinic cholinergic receptors in the brain that filter out, say, the noise in our environment, and these receptors tend to be not functioning properly in people who are schizophrenic, and so they say that that's why sometimes schizophrenic people get a temporary relief from smoking. And so I wanted to know if there was another way of activating or stimulating these receptors without going that pathway.
So nicotinic cholinergic, is that?
Yes.
Yeah, cholinergic, right. That's based on acetylcholine, right? And that's at neuromuscular junctions. Acetylcholine is a super important neurotransmitter. But oftentimes nicotinic in, you know, medical nutrition literature is related to niacin. So things that are called nicotinic is often niacin as a cofactor. So you may want to look into niacin. I'm going to look up what you just said. N-I-C-O-T-I-N-I-C, cholinergic, C-H-O-L-I-N-E-R-G-I-C, I believe.
Or look up also like the relationship between smoking and schizophrenia.
Yeah. So it says what I just said about the neuromuscular junction and acetylcholine. Nicotinic.
I was watching a video from NAMI, the National Association for Mental Illness, and they were like, "Yes, and did you know?" kind of thing. And I was like, "Oh, that's why he's always trying to smoke." Because my son, share a funny with you. My daughter called me and she's like, "Mom, she's smoking marijuana again." And I started freaking out when I came home. He's like, "No, Mom, I'm just smoking leaves." And sure enough, when we had gone walking earlier in the day, he was gathering all of these dried leaves, and I didn't know what he was doing. And then he just pulverized them and started smoking them.
So oh, like, my gosh. Did he get any pleasure from it? Any comments?
Yes, and he says that it has a Swedish taste to it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get you some lemongrass or something like that.
Something good. You know, it's interesting because my son would go, when he was in high school, he would go to this herb store that was connected with the acupuncture school, and he came back with all these herbs that he was going to try smoking. The herbs. And he did. I mean, but he had cool stuff. I don't remember exactly what, but some of them were calming, and there were things that he just tends to be an intuitive kid, and he figures things out, like not knowing, but he just like gravitates towards things. So I was looking and going, well, these are like adaptogenic, and these are calming your central nervous system. So, okay. And I'm not a big fan of smoking anything because it's not great for your lungs, but it kind of kept him from doing other kinds of smoking. So those are the kind of things that cystic cholinergic receptor, you know, I'm looking to see if it, if maybe I was just nicotinate. I was looking at
they don't have those filters that help them to not hear all the different sounds and voices and things of that nature because of an imbalance in these receptors.
Yeah. Interesting. What else would give, and is it the nicotine itself? Where are nicotinic cholinergic receptors in the neuromuscular junctions? You know, so anything that's going to stimulate sympathetic response is going to aggravate, and parasympathetic would calm.
Mm-hmm.
What are the two types? Acetylcholine and muscarinic and nicotinic based on the agonist. What happens to acetylcholine? How does nicotine affect these? Competitively binds to nicotinic cholinergic receptors. So the binding of agonists to the triggers an conformation change in the organism, opens the ionic channel.
So is it the act of smoking or is it the nicotine in the...
It's the nicotine. It's the nicotine that has an effect on these receptors. Let's see. What happens if acetylcholine, if the receptors... For acetylcholine, it will not be able to act at that receptor, then back up. And there's a lot of information here on it. What's the effect? Is nicotine a competitive inhibitor? It has to do with CYP2E1. Supported by nicotine is a CYP2E1 substrate at high concentrations, probably due to a competition. Does nicotine affect so it tends to, maybe that's another piece of it too, that if they feel good on nicotine is because it stimulates serotonin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But then it also depletes dopamine.
Yeah.
So then they get that lack of motivation and they need more to, you know, get that temporary serotonin, and then, yeah, I can see why it can be so addictive. Let's see.
Well, I was going to experiment with him with some lemongrass.
Yeah.
Anything to keep him from going back to the marijuana at this point. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm reading about cholinergic drugs and those receptors. I'm just glancing through, so there's probably more. Interesting. Markedly stimulates the CNS. And, you know, it might be that I'd have to look back and see, you know, go into more detail on this. But it could be that the those receptor, but basically the nicotine is having a stimulating effect and the acetylcholine a calming effect. And that calming effect is they're seeking that sympathetic response. I'm just guessing, just based on the minimum I went and read. But it looks like an interesting thing to be looking at.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, so what else? I mean, lemongrass might actually be the opposite, right? It's more calming. Maybe he's needing a central nervous system stimulator. Again, I'm just like saying it, glancing at some of this stuff. So it might be something, let's see.
Well, he's not really a cigarette smoker so much as it is he seeks out the marijuana. And so he's been looking for something to use in its place. And
well, so marijuana helps with dopamine. So what about other things? Macuna pruriens, which is an herb that helps to support dopamine metabolism, the amino acid tyrosine. B6, does he have any genetic tendencies towards being low in B6, which would affect his neurotransmitters?
The person that we went to who specializes in the Walsh protocol, he says that his lab test came back and it shows that he is overmethylator.
He's an overmethylator?
Yeah, because of his zinc and copper and...
Yeah, and then that could deplete his dopamine serotonin. Mm-hmm. Right, so he's looking for stimulation of those things. Marijuana, big time, does dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, you have to look into it to see if, let me see, Macuna. You might look at Macuna.
Macuna? Okay.
Yeah, look at Macuna. There's a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
With anything, you're just going to play with it. I don't know if it would affect the methylation, but it has a lot of good properties, and it definitely, it's used in Parkinson's, so it definitely helps with the dopamine, but really does sound like he's needs extra dopamine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Let's see. Who else? Good question. Any questions? That's a great question. It's got me. I'm going to leave my tabs open to look into that a little bit more. Yeah. So you might consider looking at Macuna for them. Lynn mentioned to her son too, might want to look at Macuna as a possibility. If you could smoke Macuna, that might satisfy, but I don't like smoke. Like I said, I don't like smoking anything, but sometimes it just helps. I can't remember what Kevin was doing. He was getting a couple of herbs, and I can't remember exactly what they were, but they were adaptogens and calming herbs. I think Shizandra might have actually been one of them, but I don't remember exactly. Okay. Who else? Questions, comments, discussions you want to have? No? All right. Well, if there's nothing more. Okay, Lynn. There we go. Lynn and Jill. Okay, good. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. This is my hot dog man, who's no longer eating hot dogs.
Yay.
But and he actually has a, for all intents and purpose, has a good food plan. And what came up with all of this in the first place was his doctor's data stool test. He had some pretty gnarly bacterias and so forth in his system. And so what I've been really trying to do is just calm down his immune system, because his immune system is just hyperactive. Anyway, he can do like really well for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden he'll start getting these shooting pains up his back and his legs and so forth. And I have suggested he do a fast, just even a short fast, but he is really reluctant to do that because he feels he's already underweight. He's like about 160 pounds and he's 5'8". And so he feels, because he's lost weight.
He's thin. He's a good weight, actually, for that height. But
yeah, well.
He's not what I would call, like in my fasting video you'll see tonight, I talk about, severely underweight and malnourished. People obviously don't want to.
Right.
You don't want to fast, but a short fast, especially, you can maybe get them to do like a juice fast first, right, just to really focus, shore him up, but I don't think fasting is contraindicated in that size of a person.
Well, I didn't either, and I suggested even just a one-day fast, but that's a good idea to just even do, like you said, a juice fast. And so I'll suggest that to him as well. As far as supplements, I really don't have him on anything that is antibacterial at this point. It's more just shoring up his immune system. He is doing some colostrum. Let me see, what do I have him on? And he is doing he's doing that Garden of Life Mood Plus. He is doing this thing called Fucothin. It's a brown algae, seaweed.
It's for bladder acid, I believe.
Yeah. He's doing some MSM because his joints were hurting as well. Flax oil, borage oil, and colostrum.
So tell me more about what he's doing for what, like this shooting pain that he gets up his back. Is it predictable, like every 2 weeks, or is it just comes and goes?
How long does it last? It comes and goes. It just comes and goes. And so that's why I had. He's done food tracking, and so we were able to eliminate some things with the food tracking, and it helped, but it's unpredictable. And so that's why I suggested
it's shooting. It's up his back. It starts his low back.
It's like he plugged himself into a socket. And it's just
electrical light feeling.
Yeah.
It's not a muscle type thing.
Nope.
And does he have any other, like, pain, like asking about movement and certain things?
And he's cut constant, either loose stools or diarrhea. And I had been changing some of his food so that, and I know we had talked a little bit about this before, because it was almost like he had too much fiber. His body wasn't used to the fiber because he was eating hot dogs and things before. So it's like, okay, let's lessen the fiber and add in something that's a little less fibrous and just play with that.
And so what was it that you added that is less fibrous?
Well, something that he had been used to before was bagels. So it's like, fine, let's just add in.
You got to get those out. You got to get those out.
Well, it wasn't my first choice, but it was something he had.
But that's just, you're just basically treating a symptom without really getting to a root cause. Because, it affects the neurological system. So I think you need to find something else to replace that with, even if it's a gluten-free, millet bread or something. But I think that having him on gluten and expecting his inflammation to go down and some of these symptoms to go down, I mean, the gut thing can be created by gluten.
Right.
It can be created by that. So I think I wouldn't go that way. I wouldn't go that way.
Okay.
At all.
And we had talked about gluten-free things. The part of the issue is, and to me, it just is connected, is his, you know, he always comes to a call. Like the first thing he says, you know, I'm just not going to keep working with you. It's just not working. By the end of the call, he's really grateful. So it's working with his emotions too. I've actually pulled out the mom card a few times and said, listen, I'm not making you do anything. So, you know, I kind of had that line in the sand type thing and was strong about it, and that's really what he needed. But so it's interacting with this, he just, you know, he doesn't want to do things. But he's really come a long way since I started working with
him. I think it's time to get him off the gluten. I'm just found gluten causes nerve damage, people saying shooting pains up and down the legs.
I think
you got to talk to him about it. Here's an article from, what's his name, Dr. Osborne, Peter Osborne, that talks about some of that, and you may want to go a little further with looking at that.
Oh, that's great.
Let's see. Whoops, I just logged me out. Let's see, Dr. Rita Marie.
And then the other question I had, he did a blood test, and his primary doctor actually is Chet, and so she had done a blood test on him, and one of the things, and he's 58, so, you know, he's not old. He's not young, but he's not old. But his DHEA and testosterone were, like, in the tank. And I feel like he's too young for that. And then he's got high cholesterol. And I know there is a connection there. But she...
Well, because they're not converting the cholesterol down into the pathways. I mean, I'd love to know what the levels are as well, but you know, he could have an aromatase issue where he's moving it all down to her estrogen, and his estrogens are high. It could be like vitamin B5 and other things, that B6 and 5 that are responsible for helping the cholesterol get converted down to trigeminolone and into those pathways.
I had suggested he get a Dutch test, but right now,
just put him on aromatase inhibitor herbs and foods. Really, just try to address it from that standpoint. Zinc is super important, and if he's had a gut problem and he's had diarrhea for years, he's probably deficient in zinc. So getting his zinc levels up, borage oil,
he's on borage.
Okay. So, and then look at saw palmetto. Does he have any prostate issues? But saw palmetto is important as a
Actually, he doesn't from his.
Is that?
From his blood test, he doesn't.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. But you ask him if he has difficulty, if he has dribbling and nighttime urination and all that. That, you know, the PSA can be totally normal. But I would look at things like nettles, which are going to provide him with tons of minerals, can be an aromatase inhibitor, right? Looking at his blood sugar, does he have elevated blood sugar? Because insulin resistance interferes with exaggerate aromatase. So those are some of the things to look at.
I don't remember it standing out, but I'll go back and look at it. But those are good ideas. So, all right.
All right. Good
luck.
Thank
you.
You got him off hot dogs. Congratulations. Right? That's really awesome.
He's eating an amazing diet.
Oops. I accidentally muted you when I was going to unmute. I was going to put your hand down and I hit the wrong button. Sorry. So he's eating
an amazing
diet. Except the
baby. Eating really, really well. Well, and he doesn't even do it that often. It was, but I will talk to him about doing a juice and/or smoothie fast, and see how that works. And he can throw some of those in there.
Yeah, if you're concerned about weight loss, you can do a protein powder, a really clean protein powder, like a Sacha Inchi with juice.
Yeah.
You know, so he doesn't lose too much weight, if that's what his concern is, it's to calm down that digestive tract.
Right.
And you could put some fat in there too, you know, MCT oil or coconut or something like that.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. So Jill, let me open you. There you go, Jill. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So a little bit of this was addressed. I have two guys with prostate issues. They're both taking the medication. They've both done some natural things like the saw palmetto and tomato and, tried to do some different things, but both of them are still struggling with that. And now I hadn't thought that gluten was directly connected to that issue. Can it be?
Yes, gluten can be connected to just about every issue, and it's never direct. It's usually not direct. So if somebody has issues, I would definitely get them off of gluten or at least get them tested. Entrero Labs stool testing is very sensitive. It's $99. They just have to poop and they run the antibodies on it if they're not believing it. But, I mean, just about everything. If you've got somebody who's got recurring problems and you haven't taken off of gluten, that's one of the first things I'll do with people. At least a, 6-month trial, because it can solve everything. I mean, not that it's a magic cure, but it can be involved in everything.
Yeah. Because I know even though they've done all the, some different things and have upgraded their diet, neither of them are completely off of gluten yet. So,
are they doing dairy?
Very, very little, I think, with both of them.
Again, very, very little. If you're sensitive to something, if you've got an antibody reaction, problematic. It's an inflammatory condition, right? If they've got, right? So anything that can cause them, you just got to get them off everything that can cause inflammation. An elimination diet. Everybody should start with an elimination diet. Get rid of stuff and then get it back. I just really can't stress that enough. I know it sounds real basic. It sounds kind of formulaic. But everybody's got to start with an elimination diet. You find out what they're responding to. Super important. How's their blood sugar?
Yeah, they're not testing blood sugar.
You know, if you're starting with digestive wellness and anti-inflammatory and blood sugar, you're going to miss a lot of stuff. You're going to be shooting down. You're looking for an answer to a particular problem, and that's going in the medical establishment way. We've got to look at balance. What's out of balance in their body? How's their C-reactive protein? How's their homocysteine? How are other inflammatory markers? What do their liver enzymes look like? Really the basic stuff before we start doing more advanced stuff, and then going in and balancing it. If they've got inflammation in their prostate area, they probably have inflammation in other areas. Ask about joint pain. Ask about stomach pain. Ask about, brain fog. And if they've got these
one of them has been on drugs for years for bipolar. So.
Yeah, if you're not getting them off of things, because it affects the gut. It affects how we absorb nutrients. So I would definitely go there.
Okay. And then this other person has been having AFib problems, and she has been doing the diet with her husband because he was needing to get his blood sugar in check, so they both went on the diet, and she's still having the AFib problems. They did an ablation.
When you say the diet, what do you mean, the diet?
The metabolic diet. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, AFib is challenging, right? Because we don't know what the cause is, how long it's there, what kind of damage is there, what kind of congenital stuff is there, what kind of things may have caused it. Getting the sympathetic, parasympathetic dominance is super important there. That's a tough one. I mean, I don't say certain things respond really quickly and easily. But that's a tough one. AFib, right? We got to find out why do they have the AFib? And again, balance, looking at nutrients. I would be looking at looking at antibodies to see if that's involved. Something like the Cyrex Array 5 that tests all the different antibodies, and maybe there are some antibodies that are attacking the heart and the vessels.
Okay. Yeah, I just haven't known what to do next because she got really frustrated because she feels like she has been doing the diet, you know. So I just needed
to. So she's gluten-free, she's dairy-free, she's off sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar within a good range.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to look at nutrients. You got to look at gut, right? How well is she absorbing? Does she have any gut issues?
None that she's been telling me. No.
Have her do those gut testing, the work, the things we do, like they just fill out those forms to see if anything's showing up that she's not telling you about. Because, you know, here's the thing. What people think is normal digestion is not normal digestion. I remember somebody a couple of years, like 5 years ago, I did that a grand program and I had the gut thing and had a score and he's like, I don't understand this. I'm eating vegan. I'm healthy. Why did I get a C on your test? I'm like, well, let's talk about it. I said, what questions did you have that were off? And he reads them and he goes, I said, gas after meals. Oh, bloating after meals. He goes, well, isn't that normal? No. Normal. No, but that's what people are led to believe, that a lot of the stuff that they think is normal digestion really isn't. So I would dig, you know, I would really dig on that. Have them fill out the forms and say, look, we're going to dig in. We want to see, have them fill out the nutrient forms and see if there's any indications from symptoms of particular nutrients that might be out of balance. B vitamins, vitamin C, these are all important. Yeah. Magnesium is super important when it comes to cardiovascular stuff.
She has been taking magnesium, and I told her this week to do the magnesium loading because I have the cytoscan, and I scanned her, and it showed that she was needing more magnesium. So hopefully she will add the magnesium, more magnesium.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it can be subtle. So we look at the obvious. We get everything in balance. We get their diet in balance. We get them doing mindfulness practices. We, you know, we go through those seven pillars, and which one of those are they not doing well with? And then we look at their blood sugar. We look at how's their digestion working.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Anybody else? Let's see. Wow. Lynn said her husband spent 3 hours looking at what can support the immune system last night. Good for him. Maybe he'll, you know, start listening to his brilliant wife. Let's see. It's difficult to get them to do an elimination diet, cleaning it up. It doesn't have to be a full elimination diet, but at least get them off gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, peanuts, and sugar as a start. There may be way more, but you'd be shocked at how many people do well just with that, just with that. And then if, you know, if they have a lot of joint pain, you may look at nightshades. But yeah, there's a lot there. Diet journal is important. I love the question on there about your healthiest meal. It's usually not, right? You can always tell the state of a person when they say, what's the healthiest meal you eat? You go, I eat whole wheat toast, and I have organic butter, and I drink carrot juice. You know, key, right? There's some things here that we can work on. And the ones that say my least healthy foods, and they say stuff like, I don't know, like stuff that normally is fairly healthy, like bananas are in their least favorite food or least healthy food. And yeah, I remember doing that at a school my son was attending. It was a homeschooling co-op, and they asked me to teach the kids about nutrition. So I said, before we do our class, I want everybody to go through your house and bring in the healthiest food you can find and the least healthy food you can find. So, you know, of course, my son brings in like whatever, kale or something, and he brings in honey as the least healthiest food he could find in the house. And then somebody else brought in honey as the healthiest food she could find and Lunchables as the least healthy. So it's all relative. You go, okay, my kid knows nutrition. He thinks honey is the least healthy food he could find in the house, right? So it says a lot. It really does say a lot. Jill says, my Zoomer says I'm okay on eggs, really, and blood sugar doesn't rise. Is it okay for me? Well, the Zoomer is an IgG test. Is that right? So had you been avoiding them or not, number one, if you'd been eating them up until the time of the test and it came back, you probably don't have an immune reaction to them. It doesn't raise your blood sugar. Is it okay? I will have an article coming out over the next few days to a week on eggs, where we did a lot of research on eggs and all the, you know, the pluses and minuses and pros and cons. So, yeah, you were eating them as a test. Yeah. So it may be fine for you. It may not. The thing that's the one thing people don't know about is TMAE. Depends on how much you eat. If you're eating an egg every couple of weeks, that's very different than you're eating a 3-egg omelet every day. Oh. So, but good questions. No more hands raised. Let me check my Q&A. No more Q&A. If there's no more questions, I will just take off, and you guys have a great rest of the day, and go back and enjoy my videos. I really enjoyed making these videos, and it came from a place of, you know, like just totally burying my heart and soul in these. And my my video editor has been editing them, and then he said his wife has been binge watching them. And he wrote back to me today, yesterday, he said, or this morning, he said, yep, we sat down and watched video 4 last night, because they get the preview, right? Video 4 last night, and my wife loves it. So I'm very pleased with how they're coming out. And, you know, it's people need to hear the message, right? So loving the videos. Yay, Jill. Thank you. All right, I'm going to open up your lines and you can say goodbye. There's not very many of you on the line, but I'll open up the lines anyway so I can hear your voices. Bye. Have a great day.
Bye. Thank you for everything.
Bye, everybody. You're so welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.